KALW.
I didn't speak much, even when spoken to. My way to communicate was always through art.
What does it mean to be phenomenally autistic?
It finally clicked in my head. Now you know why you have these sound sensitivities and you only eat like 3 foods. And so it was just like everything was just like making sense.
Today we meet artist, author, and illustrator Ayanna Davis. Plus, we hear why Black people with autism are diagnosed later in life.
There's a young Black boy and a white boy. They present the same exact behavior profile, and the psychologist diagnosed the white boy with autism and the Black boy with a behavior disorder.
Black, Grown, and Autistic, a special episode from the Stoop podcast. I'm Hanat Baba, and this is Cross Currents. July is Disability Pride Month, and today we're exploring autism through an episode of the Stoop podcast, hosted by me and Leela Day. So when we think about autism diagnosis, we often think about kids. But when you're Black, a lot of the time you won't know you're autistic until you're all grown up. And if you're Black and a woman, things can be even more complicated. Today we hear the experience of Ayanna Davis, an autistic author, illustrator, and artist, in this excerpt from the Stoop podcast called Black, Grown, and Autistic.
I was a very withdrawn child. I didn't speak much, even when spoken to. My way to communicate was always through art. I would draw pictures, and it would let my parents know like what I needed or what I didn't like or what I didn't want.
And it wasn't that she didn't want to talk to people.
I do remember not being able to speak. At the time, I didn't understand why I wasn't able to be verbal as a person who was verbal.
She knew how to talk, but she would just freeze. She'd have what she calls these nonverbal episodes where she would be too anxious to talk.
You know, people would talk to me, and sometimes I'd just look at them like they were, because something was wrong with them, and just walk away. And people were always like, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with her? So these little episodes that I would have, I did not, like, as a child, I just couldn't wrap my mind around, like, what was wrong with me. Like, even, like, I was like, Ursula stole my voice box, like on The Little Mermaid.
And growing up, Ayanna had a big family. Her grandmother was a very central figure.
I would talk some to them because I knew them and I was comfortable with them. I trusted them. It didn't give me anxiety to speak to them.
So the family, they understood their little girl. It was outside of the family that was a problem.
Yeah, like there was this one time.
I remember my uncles, they always had like girls over, and I was with my grandma a lot. And one of them came over. I don't remember this girl's name because she didn't last long. And I was really young. I think I was about 5 or 6. And she was like, hi. And my nickname is Yanni. And my uncle was like, oh, this is my niece, Yanni. And then, you know, and he was like, Yanni, say hi. And I just looked at her. And she was like, well, what's wrong with her? And like, she was just so caught up on like the fact that I didn't speak back to her. And she was like, well, does she know how to talk? What's wrong with her? She's so cute. How come she isn't saying hi to me?
So then what about school?
So at school, she would still sometimes just freeze up and just not be able to speak. So she just didn't want to be as social as the other kids were.
It was just always easier for me to just go sit my behind down somewhere and draw a picture. That was just easiest for me. So high school was when it was like I couldn't take it anymore, to the point where I became homeschooled. So like being at school for 8 hours, 7 hours, however long, it was mentally exhausting. So it was the social demand that I could no longer handle. As with the arts, that was like my escape.
Yeah, Ayanna's family signed her up for all kinds of arts classes, like theater. And she loved it.
Yeah, The Wiz. I was the choreographer.
Come on, Dorothy! Come on!
Come on, then!
Ease on down the road!
The thing I loved about theater is, yes, you do have to talk to people, but you don't have to talk to them as yourself. You're a character. So theater became my escape because I was a character, and me growing up misunderstood, they understood this character. So, you know, I showed up, I did what I had to do, I loved it. It was somewhere for my emotions to go.
We could sure use some company. Besides, you have nothing to lose.
I don't, do I? That was so smart of you. I wish I thought of that. Indications are it would be very advantageous for me to join you.
It helped me with my social interactions because, you know, other castmates and the directors and the staff that worked the crew, like, you know, I had to say hello. Like, but sometimes I didn't, you know, sometimes I would just walk by and give them like a little wave, a very dismissive wave. And it wasn't me being mean again. It was just me trying not to go into any type of sensory overload. But I do look back and I do remember those things. And I'm just like, wow, okay, it makes sense now. You weren't crazy like everybody was saying. There was something going on here.
So Ayana finishes high school, does some college, but she started dealing with some physical challenges.
She was living with all different kinds of pain, and she would get these seizures a lot. And she was in and out of the hospital. And so one time while she was in the hospital, she had one of those nonverbal episodes she mentioned earlier.
My doctors would come in and speak with me and my dad, and most of the time, I would just look at them and I wouldn't say anything. And so my doctors were like, you know, they kind of didn't know what to do with me. And, you know, so the doctors would always speak to my dad and they were like, has anybody ever told you that she might be on the spectrum?
Okay, Leela, so here is where I want to pause for a bit. There's a lot of research that talks about autism diagnosis. The CDC estimates that autism spectrum disorder affects 1 in 44 children in the United States.
Autism spectrum disorder, that's the official name of the diagnosis, and seizures are common with people with autism.
Yeah, and so among those kids, the CDC says that overall, Black children are diagnosed later than white children. Actually, they say Black people are significantly less likely to be identified and diagnosed with autism, period, in all age groups. It's not just the kids.
So for Ayana, she's been struggling with this since she was a kid. And now she's telling us in her 20s, they are just asking about this now. Had anyone ever even mentioned this to her before?
Well, I mean, actually, yeah.
Yes, just my regular therapist that I was seeing, we were just having a very casual conversation, and he was like, you sound like you're on the spectrum. But then I never heard a word of it from him again. The next question he asked me was, what are you going to have for dinner tomorrow? And I'm just like, okay, so you're just going to leave it at that? But since he left it at that, I left it at that. Like, I really didn't think about it again.
So it wasn't until 4 years later, when Ayana was in the hospital, that she was finally getting evaluated. And so she got that evaluation for autism right there in the hospital.
A couple days later, they came back. They spoke to my dad. They spoke to my treatment team. And they were like, yeah, she's on the spectrum. It finally clicked in my head. This is the answer you've been looking for your entire life on why you're so different. It's like, okay, well, now you know why you have communication issues. Now you know why you're socially awkward. Now you know why you have these sound sensitivities and you only eat like 3 foods. And so it was just like, everything was just like making sense. So I had to like really fight past that denial and stop torturing myself, because once I accepted my diagnosis, it was like the most beautiful thing. And I was in love with myself.
So Ayana finally had an understanding of what she was experiencing her whole life. That must have felt really good.
It did. But Leela, the challenges came almost immediately.
You know, when I got my diagnosis, I was not given any resources. They did not tell me what my next step was.
So she just, on her own, started to read about autism. She watched videos of people talking about their experiences with autism. She just did it all on her own. And while she was in these online autism spaces, there was something she couldn't help but notice. She just couldn't find a lot of people who looked like her. What she did see a lot of was little white boys.
If I was white, like, because I've seen it, you get your diagnosis and you get the freaking red carpet rolled out for you. So it's just like, they don't want black women to be the face of autism. They want that little white boy with blonde hair and blue eyes to be the face of autism, to get the sympathy.
And, you know, if you just Google the word autism, and you could try it, you get mostly white male kids. And even in film and television, the majority of autistic characters in popular media, they tend to be white and male. I tried it. I mean, it's very true. You see very few non-white faces in that Google image search.
And so for Ayana, she's saying that's problematic because it erases her and black people like her. People don't see her.
Yeah, and she's really passionate about that point.
They push this narrative about autism, little white boy, white girl, genius, and like they always push the same narrative, and they're not realizing how harmful that is to the people who are not the geniuses, the people who are not white. So it's just like the narrative that the media continues to push about autism is exactly what is keeping it stigmatized.
So one, autism is absolutely not a white people thing, okay? My name's Diane J. Wright. I am the founder of Autastic.com and a disability advocate working in the film and television industries.
So Lila, let's meet Diane. Diane is also autistic, and she was also diagnosed as an adult.
I'm a Canadian-American, biracial Black woman. Half my family is Afro-Caribbean.
And Diane consults with Hollywood on accurate portrayals of people with disabilities and autistic people. She told me right now she's working with a reboot of a very popular Black TV show.
Ooh, which one? What is it?
She won't say.
A show much beloved in the Black community, going to have autistic themes in it. And so they wanted a panel on being Black and autistic. So I brought them six Black autistic parents of Black autistic children.
Ooh, is it Good Times? Is it the Jeffersons? Are we moving on up, Hana? What is this reboot?
Okay, Lila, you can stop guessing. She is not telling us. So Diane says this issue of image that we were talking about, it's important. It's not just about not seeing yourself as an autistic Black woman. She says there are consequences to that.
The research 40 years ago exclusively was white boys. So it left out girls and women altogether and left out people of color altogether. In the last handful of years, quite literally, like handful of years, that's begun to change. But still, when you're overlooked and left out, as you know, that shapes the policy of the places you live in, that shapes the attitudes of the society you live in. You cease to exist for a lot of reasons. And for us as the Black community, not being seen translates into being seen as other and being seen as bad a lot of the time. So autistic behavior gets seen as bad behavior, bad attitudes, willfulness, laziness, even criminality.
And this, Lila, is where Diane says things can get dangerous.
We are following breaking news out of Colorado, where the state attorney general announced that a grand jury has charged three officers and two paramedics in the 2019 death of Elijah McClain. The 23-year-old Black man was in a neck restraint and injected with a sedative in a Denver suburb, stopped as he was walking home from the store, according to a city investigation.
We lost Elijah McClain. I mean, that was probably the most gentle, sweet person. And he was seen as threatening because he behaved differently. So not a white people thing.
Yeah, I remember the story about Elijah. He was 23 years old in Colorado. And in 2019, he was walking home from buying his brother an iced tea at a convenience store. And he was also autistic. There was a 911 call that said he was suspicious. and when the police arrived, they said he resisted. They then injected him with ketamine to sedate him, and he died of a heart attack.
Diane says that if society saw more Black autistic people in media, television, films, online, that would help change stereotypes about Black people. But there are things that are changing representation. Like in this PBS kids show, Daniel Tiger.
Hi, Max. Can I play with you?
This year, they introduced this new character, Max. So Max is autistic and he's Black. In this scene, the main character, Daniel Tiger, is in his preschool class, and Max is kind of off to the side by himself, playing with some toy trains.
Do you want to play with me, Max?
Daniel keeps trying to ask Max to play, but he just won't answer. So the teacher comes in. She is also Black.
Why isn't Max answering me?
Well, Daniel, sometimes he needs more time to understand the question and decide how to answer. Let's give him some time.
And now there's something else we need to talk about here, because Diane is not just saying that this is something that white people need to understand to be able to recognize autism in Black people. She's saying Black people need to do some work, too.
Mm-hmm. She is. And she has plenty to say about the internal work that we need to do as Black people, Black families, Black communities, about the stigma that we associate with being neurodivergent. And part of her work is explaining it to Black families.
And if you've not heard the term neurodivergence before, it's a shared way of experiencing the world. And you think of biodiversity as all the ways that life lives on our planet. That's a concept we can get, biodiversity. Neurodiversity is similar, but with respect to neurological makeup. Autism is not a collection of deficits, any more than curly hair is a lack of having straight hair or Black skin is a lack of having white skin. We just exist as people. Tall people, gay people, left-handed people, autistic people.
And Diane also says that a lot of the time, people get punished or shunned by their families because they think they're being rude or acting out. And that starts at childhood.
So when you have parents who are yelling at you and smacking you to sit right, talk right, act right, like, we might move our bodies in ways to help us cope and regulate or just to express joy that other kids or other adults find inappropriate. Like, if you're in church, what are you doing? Why are you making noise? This is not the time. I have heard stories in my community of parents and other family members, you know, physical, verbal abuse. Exclusion is a hard one. When you're excluded from family, from the people who love you, that is a huge punishment. Being talked about as that one, so that the entire family treats you as that one.
And speaking of church, another thing Diane says Black folks do.
Praying it away, either their family praying for them or making them go and pray for extended amounts of time to heal them.
And so for a lot of autistic people, shifting from family settings to social ones like college, that is really a lot of work for them. A lot of masking or trying to hide their reactions to things.
And you still have to show up and look like you're up for it and have the right tone of voice and have the right facial movements and all these things that are not natural to you. It's exhausting.
And there's something else Diane says that Black communities really need to work on. The fear that a loved one may be labeled, you know, on top of all the other labels we have to live with as Black people.
Mm-hmm.
That's real.
But what the label of autism will give that person is self-knowledge and community. If someone makes fun of you because you, I don't know, flap your hands and when you're happy, which turns out I do. I did not realize I do that, but I do. you're going to be okay with it. You're going to be like, I'm just happy, whatever, as opposed to feeling othered and pushed away. But if you're just labeled with weirdo or, I don't know, all the horrible things people say, there's no way to come out of that.
But one thing that Diane thinks a lot of people don't see is a certain joy that she says autistic people feel much more than other people.
There's a term we use, autistic joy. It's like everyone else's joy, but, you know, uniquely ours. The hallmark of our lives is our deep experience of pretty much everything, right? So just as we see things maybe too brightly or hear things too loudly, we also experience color and music and scents and things really, like, a lot of us are super tasters. Like, there's so much experience to be had, which is a lot of the reason we don't ever want it taken away.
My name is Dr. Jamie Pearson. I'm an assistant professor of special education at North Carolina State University.
Dr. Pearson has done a lot of research on autism in Black communities. She founded an organization called FACES that supports Black families raising autistic youth. She's looking closely at disparities and talks about it in this one study.
There's a young Black boy and a white boy. They present the same exact behavior profile, and the psychologist diagnosed the white boy with autism and the Black boy with a behavior disorder. The profiles were exactly the same, and so it caused us to think about what biases are present in that moment that drove that provider to diagnose this child this way and that child another way. And so I think in schools especially, it's important to think about, you know, how do we think about behavior? What really is disruptive behavior?
So like those movements that Diane was talking about earlier, the flapping or, you know, sudden movements, some would see that as disruptive. And then, you know, these kids would get in trouble.
Right. And Dr. Pearson has seen that a lot. She says that's how a lot of behavioral health care workers are trained, including her.
For example, some students with autism might engage in what we call flapping behaviors or like stereotypic autism behaviors. In the past, I was trained to like make that stop, that's not appropriate, that you can't learn in school if you're flapping at the same time, right? But over the years, we've learned that actually you can, and it's not appropriate for us to try to make someone stop engaging in a behavior that's actually helping them filter all the noise that's going on in the world.
And Leela, for young Black girls, Dr. Pearson says there's a whole other world of work that they have to do.
Young Black girls, probably more than any other demographic, have learned to do what we call masking, which is essentially adapting to typical behavior, right?
Masking. That's what Diane was talking about earlier, that type of code switching.
So like, even if they have the urge to flap and they're in classroom or in an interview, right, they will suppress that urge, or they will engage actively in making eye contact. It just reminds me of like this strong Black woman phenomenon that let me mask, let me do everything I can to appear non-autistic so I can make it through this space. And so I would argue that like young Black girls particularly engage in masking the most and are the least represented in autism research.
Young Black girls, the least represented in autism research. Dr. Pearson brought us full circle back to Ayana. No wonder she's so frustrated she couldn't find any information about Black women with autism, because information is scarce.
Yeah. And so let's go back to Ayana. When we left her, she was diagnosed trying to figure out more about autism on her own.
I told a few of my friends and they were just like, okay, well, you know, we just thought you were a creative, you know, you don't bother us. So they don't treat me different because I'm autistic.
After that, she started going online to meet folks. In 2019, She took the dive and she launched her own social media page. She called her page Phenomenally Autistic.
Autistic people don't need to be saved or healed by God from autism. Autistic people need to be saved from people who think we need to be saved from our autism.
And Leela, she just talks about the good days, the bad days. She posts about autism information.
Sharing my story on social media, I just decided to do it one day. I didn't plan it. I was just like, all right, I'm just going to do this. Maybe it'll help. I was just looking for more ways to understand myself. My dad helps me with my emails and stuff because, you know, I do have the cognitive issues sometimes, but I'm actually like getting a lot better.
Today, she's an autism advocate. She's an actor, an author. She's been on TV. And that art that she loved so much growing up.
I have illustrated 17 children's books, two that I authored. My original characters, they've always been like images of like, you know, beautiful Black women and Black girls, afros and afro puffs and curls and kinks because, you know, it's just beautiful.
She's seeing herself in her art. She's making it.
Yeah, it's like what she was missing when she found out she was autistic. Someone who just looks like her, talking to her.
That was an excerpt from the episode Black, Grown, and Autistic from the Stoop podcast hosted by me and Leela Day. You can find the whole episode at klw.org/crosscurrents or by subscribing to the Stoop on your podcast player. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba.